I would at this time like to acknowledge my co-authors and also their generosity in allowing me to be the one to come to San Diego and give this talk in midwinter. In keeping with my title today, I'd like to do two things. The first is to review the results of two recent studies that come about as close as we have at current to commercial scale application and conditions. So a preview of commercial or spinosad commercial performance, if you want to think of it that way. During the latter half of my talk, I'd like to focus a little bit on commercial aspects of the project, the remaining issues that face us prior to launch, and then communicate a proposed launch date. Spinosad has a number of attributes that make it particularly attractive for use in stored grain markets. It's a natural product. In some of its formulations, it is a organic certified product. And so that opens the possibility for a spinosad organic product in grain storage, which I'll touch on a little later. We have about 12 years of experience with spinosad in crop markets, and it's shown itself to be a very effective insecticide, active on a broad range of pests, many of which are in the orders Lepidoptera and Coleoptera. Spinosad also has a unique mode of action, and it's shown itself to be non-cross resistant to any other chemical class out there. So that would suggest that spinosad, once registered, will be a primary tool for insect resistance management within grain storage. And last, and probably most important and most relevant to grain storage, is the fact that spinosad has a highly favorable mammalian tox and environmental profile, as attested to by the fact that it's been it was registered under the EPA Reduced Risk Pesticide Initiative. That was in 1997, and in 1999 it was a winner of the highly prestigious Green Chemistry Award awarded by EPA. Most of you are probably familiar with spinosad products in the crop market, either as their conventional formulations such as Tracer, Success, or Conserve, or in their organic certified formulations, most notably in Trust. And we hope to add some additional formulations for the grain storage market to this slide. Now, spinosad as a grain storage protectant has a rather unique developmental history, unlike anything I had ever encountered, and I'll give you a flavor for that. In 1994, the soil sample containing spinosad was first discovered at an abandoned rum distillery somewhere in the Caribbean. 12 years later, after a lot of work, we launched our first product, Tracer, in the U.S. cotton. But the earliest testing of spinosad for grain storage did not occur until 1997 to 1999, so quite late in the game, actually. And its identification and development was not done by Dow AgroScience. It was in fact done by a group of academic researchers, a lot of the people in this room, and most notably Sufi's lab at Kansas State, and then followed closely after that by many others. So that is a very unusual developmental process, one we like very much, and we freely acknowledge and gratefully acknowledge the contributions that went into that. In the bottom half of this slide, I put together what I call the basics of spinosad for grain storage. A few key facts that if you know these, then you know how to use spinosad. Spinosad exhibits both ingestion and contact activity. It's exceptionally active by ingestion, but it's no slouch in terms of contact activity, just slightly below that of a pyrethroid. Depending on the pest species, spinosad controls either larva, adults, or both of these life stages. Another thing you need to know, and you'll see quite clearly in the results, is that spinosad displays a certain amount of species and stage specificity. Some grain storage pests are concerned or controlled much more easily than others, and some life stages, even within the same species, have differential levels of control. Spinosad controls grain storage pests by breaking the pest life cycle, mainly as a result of this stage specificity. So under grain storage conditions, spinosad at 1 ppm will protect grain from insect infestation, or it will kill off existing infestations and then prevent progeny production. This is the classic definition of a grain storage protectant, and that is how we're positioning spinosad in this market. As promised, I'd like now to move on and discuss the results from two recent studies, one in corn and one in wheat, that come about as close as we have to commercial reality. Both studies had about the same protocol. Grain was treated as in commercial applications. In other words, as an admixture treatment where grain is sprayed, it is being augured into drums or bins. Spinosad was always sprayed at 1 part per million, which is its label rate. The treated grain was then held in bins or drums under outdoor field conditions, so commercial reality there. And then naturally or artificially infested pest populations were sampled directly from grain bins or drums using a probe or grain trier. So you can see that this protocol allows for the evaluation of a population or life cycle effect, which is much as a grower would see when the product is commercialized. The bottom two slides, I kind of cobbled this together. They're there to represent Subi's grain storage study. I don't know if those are exactly your bin, Subi, but you guys get the idea and the scale of these experiments. The corn trial was a drum study run by Dr. Roy Parker, and those slides are exactly from his trial and represent the study. What I've tried to do here is to set all the rest of the slides up pretty much the same to make them easy to view and to grasp. You'll always be looking at numbers of live adults. over time, at various time points, post-application and post-outdoor storage. All of the wheat studies I've coded here in green, and then when we switch to corn, that'll be yellow. Spinosad will always be in this red or pink color, and the check will always be in blue. In this case, this blue with the X's. In this particular study, we're looking at live adults of lesser grain borer per kilogram of grain over a 6-month storage period. Spinosad is being at 1 ppm is being compared to Reldan at 3 ppm, and a combination of spinosad at 1 and Reldan at 3. And you can see from the results of this graph that spinosad at 1 ppm had virtually complete control of lesser grain borer out to 6 months. Reldan had a little trouble here and started to fall apart after about 4 to 5 months. This is the same wheat study, this time looking at live adults of rusty grain beetle per kilogram of grain over time. And as you can see, again, spinosad with virtual complete control out to 6 months. Reldan also performed well in this trial. Same study, now looking at red flower beetle. Again, you see that through 6 months of storage, virtual complete control of red flower beetle. Same thing with Reldan. Now we're looking at live adults of sawtooth grain beetle, again over that same 6-month period. Spinosad with good control, although not complete, but you can see the types of numbers we're talking about here, less than a third of an insect per kilogram of stored grain. Reldan with virtually no control, but that is the control, and that's Reldan. So, but nevertheless, that's very good control, and you'll see later in the talk if spinosad has a problem on any particular insect, I think it would probably be sawtooth grain beetle, but that's in a relative sense. Switching gears now to look at the corn experiment, and I'd like to thank Dr. Roy Parker from Texas A&M for allowing me to show these data. They're set up very much the same as in the wheat study, so you're looking at numbers of live insects, adult insects, this time per quart sample, over various time periods post-application and storage. and in this case, out to 10 months. Spinosad again, I tried to be consistent, so it's in the pink. The control is in the blue, and you can see that spinosad at 1 ppm is being compared to Diacon 2 at its label rate of 5 ppm and compared to Actelic at 4.5 ppm. Now, this was originally set up by Dr. Parker as an economic analysis, so he was using Actelic at a slightly lower label rate, or slightly lower rate than its label rate. But I don't think it'll make much difference to the results. Where Actelic works well, it works very well. Where it has gaps or problems, I don't think a couple extra ounces would have mattered. So you can see we're looking at lesser grain borer here, which is actually the strength of spinosad. And you can see that through time, very low numbers of lesser grain borer adults with spinosad out to 10 months after application. Diacon worked extremely well here, and Actelic, of course, has a well-known problem on lesser grain borer. Same corn study, this time looking at red flower beetle. Again, almost all compounds perform very well here. What you're looking at here in the blue is the control. So all compounds with excellent control out to 10 months. Same corn study again, this time with rice weevil. You can see spinosad, virtually complete control out to 10 months. Same thing with Actelic. Diacon had a problem here with rice weevil, not unexpected. This is the same set of data from the corn study. This time the lesser grain borer, the red flower beetle, and the rice weevil data were pooled into total insects. So that's what you're looking at here. You can see that spinosad had by far the lowest numbers of live insects throughout the 10-month period. And this is by virtue of its lack of spectrum gaps as opposed to Diacon and Actelic. So overall, very positive data for both studies. I included this slide to illustrate the long chemical residues that you can expect from spinosad over time in a grain storage environment. There are two studies here, a wheat study, which is Subi's same study, and then a corn study run by Dave Zabella. Both of these were run approximately the same way. A target rate of 1 ppm of spinosad was applied on stored grain, or stored wheat or corn, as it was augured into the bin, so a commercial style application. The grain was then stored outdoors under ambient conditions, and samples were taken every 3 months, brought back into the lab, and instead of being analyzed as in a bioassay, these were analyzed for actual chemical residues of spinosad. So you can immediately see two things from the graph here. One is that spinosad is extremely stable over time. In wheat out to 6 months, very little degradation of those residues, and in corn all the way out to 2 years. The second thing that you notice, and this is a bit of a mystery, is that no matter how hard it was tried by these investigators to apply the specified 1 ppm that they thought they were getting, usually they ended up with between 60 and 70% of that target. And that is a bit of a mystery. It could speak to a need for precision application. It could speak to a need that for us to look at some other residue sample that is missing out of these. But the main point here is that spinosad is extremely long-lasting under grain storage conditions, and these are effective residues. We did the bioassays, or they did the bioassays, to prove that there was control at these levels. So after 2 years of control. What I've done on this slide is to take some liberties with about 9 years worth of data. This is a combination of laboratory and field data, and I've pulled it all together in one table here for you. So what you're looking at are some of the key pests in stored grain. You're looking at spinosad's overall expected performance on those pests once we launch. Three pluses represents commercial level control. 4 represents probably better than standards out there now. And you can see that spinosad will be a full spectrum product out there. And again, the only one that I have any reservations about at all is sawtooth green beetle, and that's only because our data has been up and down. I think you'll see that fall into the fold under commercial style applications. Now I'd like to switch gears and talk about some of the commercial aspects of the project. The first thing you have to understand is that Dow AgroSciences itself will not be selling this product. We're going to depend on 2 partners with much more experience and market reach than we have, and they'll be the ones selling. Those partners are Bayer Crop Science and Winfield Solutions. You're all familiar with Bayer. They have an outstanding presence in the treated seed market and the GMO seed market. They also have their own stored grain products, such as Diacon and Dryacide. But they have made a major extension of their seed and grain platform recently with the purchase of Gustafson. So now, in addition to what they have, they're going to be rolling in the Gustafson line of products, not only the insecticide products, but the seed treatment equipment and machinery. So Bayer Crop Science has a big commitment now to the grain and seed market, and in talking with them, I know that they're very excited about spinosad and adding that to their portfolio. Bayer will be selling spinosad products under the brand name Contain. Contain is going to have a very broad label, and I'll let you pick out your favorite commodity here and take a minute to look at that, but that is a very broad label. It also has a broad label in terms of the pest control. Bayer Crop Science has already registered the first 2 formulations, and they're working on the third. The first one is Contain Liquid, which will be a 3/4 pound per gallon SC. Contain Dry will be a 0.5% WP. And those are already registered and ready to go. Under consideration for development, and I know they're pursuing this actively, would be an organic formulation based on our Dow AgroSciences Intrust 80W formulation. The second partner in the U.S. is Winfield Solutions. You're probably more familiar with them than I was. They're a new company, and what they've done is they're a subsidiary of Land of Lakes based in Minnesota, and they're probably better known to everybody by the trade names or the brands they sell, which are AgriSolutions and Crop Plan Genetics. They're a full-service company. They have a lot of products in the seed treatment market, GMO seed market. They have some crop protection products, including, including now Actelic and Malathion and Dryacide. What they did was they also expanded their platform with the recent purchase of AgriLiance. So now they're a major player in this market, and they're going to continue to sell their products and their new products under Crop Plan Genetics and AgriSolutions trademarks. Winfield will be selling their products under the Execute brand name. They'll have a 2% SC product for use in popcorn, sweet corn, field corn. And they'll be selling a combination product of one part per million spinosad with 3.5 parts per million pyrimethos methyl, or Actelic, for use in corn and sorghum. Again, here's the specifics. Executes a standalone formulation, 1 ppm spinosad, liquid formulation with a label in corn, and Execute is a combination product with Actelic, also a liquid formulation with corn and grain sorghum uses. So where are we on launch? There's only one issue that stands between us and launch on this product. We already have our labels and products, and so do our partners. They are approved by the EPA, and we're back in 2005. Codex MRLs have been adopted for most of the rest of the countries in the world. Harmonized EU MRLs are imminent, and I think Australia is only waiting on our final hurdle to go ahead and register their products, The final hurdle is a Japan MRL, or maximum residue level, and that's expected in Q4 of 2009. My last slide here, what's going on in Japan is that they've embarked on a very large residue program. All new compounds now, instead of being positive listed, they must go through a scientific review. And spinosad is caught up in that scientific review. So, as a multinational company, we must respect that. So we have talked to our partners, and we are all agreed that we will not launch this product until we have that final MRL in Japan. The bad news is that that could take until fourth quarter of 2009 with a launch in 2010, but the good news is that once we do achieve that, American producers do not have to worry at all about shipping grain anywhere in the world. There will be no problems with detections or issues. We're anxious to launch this product. We're excited about it. So are our partners, and we hope you will be too. My last slide just acknowledges the contributions of a large number of people who helped develop spinosad for this use. I know it looks like a thank you note to the academic community involving grain storage, but that's basically what it is. Thank you very much.